Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Architecture and Design Film Festival opened last night at the Circle Cinema and continues throughout the weekend. Since its founding in 2008, the festival has strived to bring the innovation and creativity of the world's most innovative architects and designers to light through film. Now, most of the time, this film festival plays in huge, major metropolitan areas. Think Los Angeles, New York, Seoul, South Korea, and more. But thanks to the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture, this festival will actually be at the Circle Cinema this weekend and will feature over 20 films devoted to nearly every aspect of design and architecture, from films on superstars like Frank Gehry, Richard Neustra, or Eero Saarinen, to films on graphic designers, furniture designers, landscape and garden architects, as well as craft artists. Film showings will be punctuated by question and answer sessions with the filmmakers and special guests like Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Paul Goldberger and Metropolis Magazine editorial and brand director Paul Makovsky, and much more. My guest today is the festival founder and director, Kyle Bergman, an architect himself who founded the festival nearly 10 years ago, along with Amanda DeCourt, the executive director of the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture, who arranged for the festival to be at the Circle Cinema. You can see an entire schedule at adfilmfest.com. And Kyle and Amanda are my guests today. Kyle Bergman, Amanda DeCourt, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Richard, for having us.
Kyle, let me start with you. You're the founder of this Architecture and Design Film Festival, which really usually plays like major cities, New York City, Seoul, South Korea, and huge metropolitan areas. How did you start this festival? Why was it started?
So I'm an architect, and I started thinking about the festival probably almost 15 years ago, 2001. And I had a publishing company at the time, and that was wrapping up, and I started thinking about what the next move is, and I started looking. There were some films about architecture and design, and I thought about it. I had never done a film festival. I'm an architect, didn't know anything about it. And finally, by about 2008, it was either time to either do it or not do it, and said, okay, let's go for it. And we did our first festival in 2009, and the goal was really to up the level of conversation. As architects and designers, we talk to ourselves all the time, and it's fantastic conversation. However, what's really missing is talking to a broader audience, and film is a great way to bring both the design community together and the design conscious community to come together and see films and hang out and talk about them.
Well, it's also been an explosion in interest in design. Design has gone in my lifetime from it was almost a club in which you had to be admitted to understand it. And you know, really, in a way it was.
Yes.
And it was something that outsiders ridiculed to now this mass movement of people interested in fine design and good design.
Mm-hmm. And it's across the board. It's architecture, it's food, it's fashion. And America was really behind the curve for that for a long time. I mean, Europe was much further ahead of us in a lot of ways. And I think that really starting around 2000, there's been this great enthusiasm for design in America, and it continues to grow, which is fantastic.
And Amanda, certainly you've seen that here in the city with the Foundation for Architecture. I mean, every time I turn around, it seems like more and more people are interested in our heritage and in movements that at one point inspired a lot of ridicule or uncomprehension about what the design was to interested in preserving it.
Absolutely. We have seen such an enormous growth in interest. Our Second Saturday tours, we started with Art Deco, but we've expanded that into modernism, cathedrals, all kinds of things. And we're really starting to see people embrace modernism, which has been so misunderstood and, you know, underappreciated for a long time. And interestingly, Art Deco went through the same thing when modernism was new and we tore a bunch of it down. Now we wish we had it back. So
Right. We're
really trying to grow appreciation for all kinds of architecture and design throughout the city.
And you look at the mid-century neighborhoods. I mean, some of them are in the process of sort of being rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of those mid-century neighborhoods have been modified over the years, so they're not really the same. But do you see that sort of sense of appreciation for that?
Absolutely. There are a lot of folks in Lortendale who are
really for example,
embracing Lortendale and all of the mid-century aesthetics that go with that.
So how does this festival play into what you're trying to accomplish for Tulsa architecture?
I think we're going to reach a wider audience who don't necessarily know about Tulsa Foundation for Architecture, and they will now, but mm-hmm. there's something for everybody in this festival. If you're a community development nerd like myself, there are things for you. We have a film about yarn.
Fiber art.
It's amazing. Fiber art, landscape design, modernism,
garden
how architects
design.
Themselves live. There are great stories about not just design, but people throughout the festival.
Was it a difficult, I mean, you usually are doing this festival in really huge major metropolitan areas. Was it a hard sell to come to Tulsa? And was it you that actually approached the festival about coming to Tulsa?
George Kravis, who has an amazing design collection himself, has attended the Architecture and Design Film Festival in New York and really wanted Tulsa to have that. So he made this happen at the beginning.
It really was his vision to bring it here. And, you know, we get approached by a lot of different places to bring the festival there. And I always approach a little cautiously. And it really depends on what the team is there and what the rationale and the reason to bring it to another city, because it is harder to do it in a smaller city, but it's also exciting to do it. So having really a great team, the Tulsa Architectural Foundation, and also knowing that people here were really supporting the festival made it a lot easier to make the decision to come here. And it was really, even though we opened last night, but we're really, I can tell that the whole festival is just going to roll out great.
And we should mention this is more than just a film festival, because you have all sorts of directors coming in. You have recognized experts in the field coming in to sort of help curate these films in a large part.
Well, what's great about having at a festival, you know, so the difference between a festival or just watching it at home or seeing a series is you really come together. The energy is really different. There's a lot of films and people talking about the different films. And also having a filmmaker or producer there after the film for a 10 or 15 minute Q&A is so much more rich, so much more exciting. And so tonight on Friday, we have Paul Goldberger, who wrote a book on Frank Gehry. And it's a great, fantastic book called Building Art. Paul, we have a film called Getting Frank Gehry, an Australian film that Paul didn't make, but he is in for a little bit. And we're going to do a Q&A, a conversation afterwards.
And he's done probably the best biography of Frank Gehry.
Really, it's an amazing book. I mean, he worked a long time on it. And Paul's such a good writer, and he's known Frank for a long, long time.
Tell us a little bit about the film, the Gehry film, because it focuses on a building he designed in Australia, but also some of his other major creations.
Right. So really, he does this very unusual building in Australia. It's the first building he's done in Australia. And it was a real controversy. Do we want a Gehry building here or not? And is it just like facade, or is there something deeper than that? And so the film really explores, is it more than just crazy facades, or is Frank Gehry's building really important? And I think they make a really good case showing how important that building is, as well as his whole trajectory. You know, especially if you think of from Bilbao and the Disney Hall after that, it's really a sea change in architecture that Gehry and Gehry Technologies has really put about.
The Bilbao is the one that looks like the crushed aluminum can, and then the building in Australia is referred to the crumpled brown paper bag.
Exactly. And when you see Frank, when you see him filmed and he's making these models, it looks like he's just crumpling up this stuff. But he's really an artist, and it's not just crumpling. Anyone can crumple things like that.
And, of course, when you look at the museum and concert hall, like a Disney concert hall, which is a variation of that same Bilbao theme, it's had a tremendous impact on that whole neighborhood, because now that's the museum district in Los Angeles. I mean, it's spurred huge amounts of development.
It's really anchored. I mean, downtown L.A. has finally come back, I think, and it's really a dynamic place now. And that was one of the key moves, I think, to making that happen.
Of course, Tulsans will know this from the Cesar Pelli BOK Center, which has had somewhat of the same impact. It's amazing how one sort of major architectural location can transform a neighborhood or even a city.
It is transformative. I mean, that's what's interesting. I mean, that's what's great about downtown Tulsa. I mean, you have great bones here, amazing architecture from the 20s and 30s, and that you're bringing it back to life. The Bruce Goff building that's coming back, that's going to be pretty amazing.
The Tulsa Club.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful Art Deco building as well.
I was lucky enough to get a tour inside of it last time I was here. And even though it had been sitting vacant for a long time, you go inside to that top floor, it is going to be awesome when it's done.
It's breathtaking even in its ruined state.
Yeah. So let's talk some about some of the more of the highlights, because you have a film on Eero Saarinen, which will have the director in to talk about it. And, of course, this is another major groundbreaking architect.
Exactly. So the Eero Saarinen film is fantastic. It's made by both Eric Saarinen, Aaron's son, and Peter Rosen, the director, is coming in from New York. And it's this story of really looking at Saarinen's work freshly by his son, who had some personal issues that happened throughout his life. So his dad died when Eric was 19, and they had a challenging relationship at that time. And this film gave him a chance to go back and really look at his dad's work. And Peter Rosen, the filmmaker, so it's in this theme of a number of films done about famous architects by their children. Of course, My Architect by Nathaniel Kahn about his dad, Lew Kahn, is kind of really sets off these architectural films in 2003 with all these films coming out. And this is another one. And there's a number of films like that we've shown in the past.
So what strikes you as other highlights from this week? The other thing that this festival takes into account is architecture is just more than designing buildings. It's designing the interior furniture of a building. It's designing landscapes. It's designing gardens. It's creating artwork that sort of transcends visual arts and design.
Yeah, so we're really interested in the creative process. And designing buildings or designing gardens or designing furniture, it's that same dynamic creative process. So, for example, we have a film on Eileen Gray. And Eileen Gray is a woman really way ahead of her time, who was born 2 centuries ago, in the late 1800s. She works she learns lacquerware in the 1920s and then goes on to design some amazing furniture that the last piece sold at Sotheby's for a crazy amount, like $100 million for a chair. Unbelievable.
Wow.
But her famous building is called E1027 in southern France on the coast of the water on the Mediterranean. And there was a lot of controversy. After she built it with her husband, she left. She split up with her husband. Corbu went in there and put a number of famous murals in there, and it was always a little unsure who exactly designed it. And this film shows for clear that it was Eileen Gray who designed that building, and it's really a great story. You know, tragically, so many times that women don't get the right credit, the appropriate credit for the things they've done, and it's nice that this film brings that back to life.
Which makes me think of the controversy
over the Boston Avenue
Methodist Church, and
that's still is that still alive? I think
yes,
it's still very much
still
alive.
Ada
Robinson.
I think someone
or
should do a film about it.
Bruce Goff. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Actually, there is someone working on a new Bruce Goff film. Uh-huh. Someone from Tulsa. It's not completed yet, but I'm dying to see it when it gets ready because it sounds really exciting.
My guests today are Kyle Bergman, the festival founder and director of the Architecture and Design Film Festival Tulsa, which comes to the Circle Cinema today through Sunday. Presented by the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture, and Amanda DeCourt, the executive director of the Tulsa Foundation, is also my guest. As we talk about this festival, which really got underway a little bit last night, but really starts today with lots of discussions as well as films. I'm looking at some of the, I'm just focusing again on architecture, but you have this couple of films about Richard Neutra. And one is an interesting story about this sort of hexed house that he does.
Yeah. So the two Neutra films are really interesting because they're both about very different projects Neutra did. Windshield, The Vanished Vision, is about a house that Neutra designed on Fisher's Island on the East Coast, and he had never designed a house there, and it was the most expensive house almost ever. I mean, crazy expensive.
And it was also, this film's about the relationship between the architect and the client, too.
Exactly. So the architect, Neutra, made John Brown fill out detailed information about what they wanted in a house, and it was very modern. It was aluminum siding, aluminum windows. They had things now that seemed normal, but it was the first time ever built, and the building had a tragic story. It got built, and then, unfortunately, a huge hurricane came and blew it down.
Within weeks, right?
3 weeks after it was built. It's crazy, sad. They rebuilt it, and they spent a lot of time there, and then it had a tragic fire in the 50s. And the film is made by the granddaughter of Don Brown. And the other film is also called The Euler House, about a Neutra building that's done in the desert in California. And that's on the opposite end of the spectrum, a very, very inexpensive house designed for a fascinating guy who comes out of World War II, doesn't know anything about architecture. He goes to the library in San Diego. The librarian gives him a stack of books. He looks at all these books, and he sees this guy from Los Angeles. He drives up there, knocks on his door, doesn't know who Richard Neutra is, and he says, "Mr. Neutra, I have a nice piece of land in the desert. Would you like to design a house?" They end up having this great history together, and they become lifelong friends. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, elegant, modern building in the desert.
Now, the director will be here for that. That's actually tonight, along with Paul Goldberger, Mike Dorsey.
Yeah, Mike Dorsey's coming in from California. And the interesting thing is Mike is also the grandson of Richard Euler. So both of these films were made by the grandchildren of the client who commissioned them.
Now, I've seen a number of films about design and architecture where it features family members. Why? What's the reason for that trend?
You know, I think it's because that it is so important in these people's lives. And, you know, these buildings become part of the family. And they're so critical. And one or two generations later, people say, oh, my God, I have to kind of get involved with that. I see how important that is in my grandfather or grandmother's life and story.
Mm. Now, we mentioned that the festival's going to feature a lot more than just building architects. One in particular is a film called Fall, Winter, Spring, Summer, Fall, Five Seasons with Piet Udolf.
Udolf. And Piet is a master gardener from Holland who in the gardening world is known very, very well. But he's really... we probably all have walked through his spaces. He did Lurie Garden in Chicago, did the High Line in New York. So he's really the vision behind painting basically with landscapes. And what's great about Piet is that he looks at plants, how they last all year long. So he loves them when they're in the fall and in the winter, you know, that these are living organisms and they're beautiful in the dead of winter as well as in their full bloom. And it's a fantastic film on artistic vision with plants.
What would be the most unusual film that people might not associate with architecture and design?
So there's a film called The Happy Film. And and The Happy Film is an amazing film. It actually originally opened at Tribeca Film Festival. And it's made by Stefan Sagmeister, who is a very well-known graphic designer. And this is Stefan spent 6 years with this film looking at how does he take his design skills and think about personal happiness. And he ends up looking at happiness in three ways because he's very analytical in his design skills. And he looks at it three ways. He looks at it through meditation, through therapy, and through drugs. And each one of these give him a different insight into happiness. And so the meditation, he goes to Bali, he does that. He then goes and you see what that does and you see what it does to his thinking. He spends some time in therapy and they follow that. And then he spends some time being on prescription drugs. And all along, you're seeing this design process work. And it is a beautifully crafted film. It's a really fun film. It's very thought-provoking. And it says right in the beginning, this film will not make you happy. It's really a very thoughtful, interesting film. And I highly recommend it to people.
All right. That's just one of the films of part of the Architecture and Design Film Festival presented by the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture. The Festival Tulsa comes to the Circle Cinema today through Sunday. And the best place to get a full schedule would be at the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture site?
Or the Circle Cinema. Tulsa Foundation for Architecture. But everything's on the Circle Cinema website, as well as our website, adfilmfest.com. And all the information, ticket times are there, are listed. Or just come out to the theater. There'll be a lot of people out there enjoying the films.
Yeah. My guests today are Kyle Bergman, the festival founder and director, and Amanda DeCourt, the executive director of the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture. What are your members? You have this huge mailing list of about 400 members. What are they looking forward to seeing?
Everything.
Well, yeah, but
I realize that's unhelpful, but yeah. Everything. Everyone I bump into says, I am so excited. I can't wait for the festival. And I've heard everything from the one about the gardens to, you have a film about yarn. So
let's talk about the film about yarn.
So yarn is a piece of film that really is looking at how yarn can be used in design and in architecture. So it's not about your typical yarn, just knitting kind of film. It's really, there's a Japanese architect who does these large sculptures and structures with yarn. There's also, it talks about where yarn comes from. I mean, it started off with this Icelandic artist and her fascination with yarn and where it comes from. So it's really the creative process with yarn, but not used in, it's not about knitting sweaters. It's about using yarn as a creative endeavor and using that process to enhance architecture and design. So it's really a fun film, as well as we have speaking afterwards, a conversation is with...
Jean Ann Fosser, right?
Yes.
And Jean's involved in the fiber arts movement here, and she has a fiber arts store here in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. And she's also involved with 108 Contemporary. You might remember the fantastic yarn bombing that they did very recently right across from Guthrie Green and how cool that was, and everybody came out to see that. So I hope they come out and see the film. And
actually, right now in the Rotunda of Philbrook, there is this major installation made with yarn as well. So
a perfect coincidence.
Yeah.
Yarn is really in. It is so in, you know.
Banish the thought of grandma crocheting an Afghan. This is not what this is about.
Yeah, this is not your grandmother's yarn.
Not your grandmother's yarn film.
Now, one of the films that interests me is one where you have this film about where architects live. Now, what sort of insights does that provide into the creative process?
So it's really – what's interesting is it's made by an Italian filmmaker, Francesca Molteni, and she had this great opportunity to go interview a number of architects, including Zaha Hadid and Shigeru Ban and other architects, Daniel Liebskin, and to go into their house, interview them about how they decide to live. So it's completely different when you're designing for a client, telling people how they should live. But this is your choices, how you're going to live. And it's a great insight into people's thought process about what they want for themselves. No one's telling them what colors to choose, what I want. They're saying, this is for me. So it's a great – so there's 8 different segments in that, each with these different famous architects and designers.
Well,
I'm really looking forward to that one.
I think I'm going to plan to go, too,
and
for
we
that
can,
one.
We all have a home, so we all can relate to that.
Absolutely. And people love stories about – people, the people behind the architecture.
Well, so I think
gets
that's
really far into that that architect's own life.
Now, another film that is sort of another movement that is growing a lot is the maker movement, I guess. And you have a film related to that?
Yeah, it is actually. It's called If You Build It. What's great about that film? It is two young architects who go to a rural town in North Carolina, and it's a pretty depressed place, and they're there, and they're like, what can we do? And so they propose to do a design build class for high school students to build something in their community. And this film really takes you through the year of this class, and it shows you these kids. It's really an education film as well as a maker film, and you see these high school kids learning how to trust themselves. And one of the great things about design build education, not only do you have to design it, but you have to make it, and the trust process goes up incredibly. And we're really lucky to have one of the participants in that class who is now just graduated from college. His name is Stevie. He's going to come in from North Carolina. Fantastic guy. And his story is really transformative. When he was in the end of high school, in 11th grade, he had no interest in school, no interest in anything after that. This class makes him get excited about school. He finishes, decides he wants to go to college, finishes his college degree. He's now back on his family farm. But this film was this process for him was completely transformative. And we're going to be showing it to some local high school kids on Friday morning and Saturday morning. And we're showing it to TGAS,
the women's Tulsa Girls Art School.
Oh, right.
Around the corner from the Circle.
Yeah.
And those are some private screenings. But we're really excited to get young people from Tulsa to see this film.
Now, if people want to go to one of these films or multiple films, is there a pass or is it a buy the film or how is it working for the design festival?
You can just come in and buy a ticket for any film that you would like to see. And we actually have a rate for students and members of TFA and members of the Circle Cinema, $7.50 a film. The rest of the tickets are $9.50. So
is there a pass?
There's not. We just wanted people to be able to come and see as many films as they like and not have to worry about buying a pass. And
there'll be multiple presenters throughout each day, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So on tomorrow, after the Grey Matter screening, we'll have Paul Makrovsky from Metropolis Magazine, who will be doing a conversation with George Kravis about his collection, and Brian Hughes from S.R. Hughes. And they'll be doing a conversation about collecting. And you know, George has been someone who's been a collector for his whole life. And he was someone who was way ahead of the design curve. He understood product, he understood art, and he's been collecting it for a long time. And that passion has really, you know, driven him his whole life. And
it's been also not only high design things, but everyday design that has this just beauty to it, you know, from 1930s and 40s onward.
Yeah, and George has been able to see that. Actually, he had a show in New York at the Cooper Hewitt that was an amazing part of, from his collection. And it was just a wide range of stuff. But everything was really well-designed, from a pencil or pen to some very expensive products.
Yeah. My guest today are Kyle Bergman, the founder of the Architecture and Design Film Festival. Architecture and Design Film Festival Tulsa comes to the Circle Cinema today through Sunday, presented by the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture. Amanda DeCourt is the executive director there and my guest. And I know you're hoping for a huge turnout, but what do you hope for the after effects of this festival will be on the design community and the people interested in design in the city?
I just hope that everyone gets engaged through this process and getting the opportunity to see all of these films, and we have even more momentum than we've already been building in Tulsa to make sure that we really appreciate what we have and we demand well-designed everything for our community going forward.
And it's a mixture of what? Preservation and as well as going forward when you build new structures that has this design element as a part of it.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just building it as cheaply and easily as you can.
We have some fantastic buildings in our city. When we built the absolute best, the latest, greatest, everything, whenever we had that opportunity. So preserving those is very important, but we need to honor that architectural legacy by making sure that when we build new, we build the BOK Center. We don't
faceless arena.
We don't want to build anything faceless. We don't want to build things that don't have personality. We need to build the best we can build with contemporary product of its own time.
And I would argue that
future.
If you build beautifully, it is the most environmental thing you can do. Because
Absolutely.
If a building is going to stay around for 100 or 200 or 300 years, that is the biggest environmental savings that could possibly happen. And so it's another reason to build well and beautifully.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you can see some great examples of that in the Architecture and Design Film Festival Tulsa, which continues today at 5:45 through about 10 o'clock tonight at the Circle. Films begin at 12:30 on Saturday, ending at about 9:30. Sunday, April 23rd, 1:30 to 6:15 for the films. You can see the whole schedule at CircleCinema.com. Kyle, Amanda, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Amanda DeCourt is the executive director of the Tulsa Foundation for Architecture, which is presenting the Architecture and Design Film Festival Tulsa. Kyle Bergman is the festival founder and director. The Architectural and Design Film Festival Tulsa continues at the Circle Cinema tonight through Sunday. For a full list of films and information, visit adfilmfest.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.